What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, February 5th, 2018. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Tim Geddes.
Let's him host.
How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic.
Did you have a good weekend?
I had a great weekend, actually. Little Super Bowl party with you over at Andrea Renee's house.
Of course, business
their house
lady
is
in
really
business.
Cool.
Yeah.
I like their studio.
Studio's awesome. The West Good Studio is awesome.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. For everybody watching on YouTube, we know something's wrong with that pixel in the back screen. Don't worry about it. We see it. We understand. We'll figure it out one day. Housekeeping for you. Today's sponsor is Pro Flowers and Sherry's Berries, but I'll tell you about them later. Also, Greg's Comic Book Club officially launches Wednesday on patreon.com/kindoffunny. So if you want to talk comics with me in this week or this month, Tim, go over there and you learn all about it. Of course, this show is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show right into kindoffunny.com/KFGD with your questions, comments, bad PSN names, and everything else under the sun. Then you can watch us record the show live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. You need to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or listening later on podcast services around the globe. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Five items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
In the intro there, had a lot of saliva in my mouth.
Yeah,
pretty proud that I got through it. I didn't do anything.
There was no marbles. We're good.
Yeah, that's what I want to hear. First and foremost on the Roper Report, Tim Geddes.
Yeah.
Is there more Crash coming?
Oh, please, baby, let there be some.
I'm going to read to you from Reset Era. Over there, a post was made saying Max Argyle, licensing manager of GBI, a licensed merchandising company in Europe, goes on record in the new licensing source book Europe from DHX Brands and claims the following. I feel like I'm not saying this is fake, but if you wanted to make it fake, this is how you would make it fake. Because they're saying a lot of words and names and acronyms I've never heard before. Anyways, he goes on to say Activision will release Insane Trilogy on Switch and PC in 2018. There's a new Crash game coming in 2019, and Activision has plans for Crash titles through 2022. Here's the actual snapshot. Man. Looking ahead to 2018, Max picks out Crash Bandicoot as one to watch.
I have been many years.
You've never stopped watching Bandicoot. The new game was a huge success at retail with no marketing spend. Next year, we'll be going even broader, Switch and PC, and there will be another game in 2019. Activision has, we all know that, a five-year plan for this, and GBI is delighted to be fully on board for all products, end quote. Where is your Gatorade hype meter, whatever the hell?
Through the roof. Are you kidding me? A lot of this, very good news to me. I mean, hey, worst case scenario, the games are bad. I don't need to play them. Cool.
You need to play them. If they give you more Crash Bandicoot, I don't care if it's awful. You got to play it.
I'm going to play it.
Okay.
But hey, if I don't enjoy it, I don't enjoy it. I have what I have. Like, the world gave me Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy. It gave me exactly what I wanted. Gave me the old games. Totally remade from the ground up. Let's make them look beautiful. Let's redo the soundtracks. Let's fix all the save problems. They did it. They gave me what I needed. What happens from now on? It's just you know, Gatorade on top of the country. You know what I mean?
More and more Gatorade.
Yeah, it's just, that's all that it is. It's very interesting. It's interesting to look back at the history of Crash Bandicoot leaks and Crash Bandicoot information. Of course, I was on top of all that stuff.
You were trying to hashtag save the Bandicoot.
Yes. And one of the first kind of signs towards the Insane Trilogy happening was a very similarly leaked thing from toy companies and design stuff, being like, oh, Crash is getting weird toys and is getting more things, and that led to Skylanders and him being in that. So this, I would put this in the credible category.
You're putting credible.
Of like, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of information here that this guy should not be putting out there.
Sure.
And someone's going to get
come
in trouble
on,
for
Max.
Yeah, but
this sounds, a black eye for GBI.
The thing reading this that makes it sound real to me is it doesn't sound accurate. I think so. The key here is it not being on Xbox One. No way. There's no way that that's the case. So this being out there and it being almost right.
Yeah.
I think makes it more credible than if it was totally like, and this, and this, and this, and this. This is kind of, it sounds like someone just kind of like talking off the top of their head. Just like, oh yeah, yeah. And you know, these things are happening. You know, not really thinking it's an official statement that he's making.
Sure.
I'd be shocked if this game comes to other systems and doesn't come to Xbox. Like, it's just, that's money left on the table. Unless Sony has some type of deal that prohibits it from being on the main competitor, or some weird wording that doesn't allow that. But I can't imagine that happening. Even Rise of the Tomb Raider, funded by Xbox, eventually, or funded by Microsoft, eventually comes over to PlayStation 4. And in the credits, it still says Microsoft.
Like, yeah.
So I can't imagine Activision. Now they're passing like, yo, we got Crash. It's selling well. Let's jump back on this.
But yeah.
I imagine it will come to PC and Xbox One. My boy, the Bandicoot on the Switch. Oh my God, are you kidding me? Yes, especially the Insane Trilogy. I'm all about that. This is where like trophy support. I'm like, I'd love that there.
Yeah.
Because then I just
chip away.
I actually played a little Crash Bandicoot this weekend.
Did you really? Look at this. You can't get away.
Made some more progress on them trophs.
Somebody wrote in a while. I don't think you're on the day. Do you have a platinum of any kind?
I've never got a platinum.
But you,
I was trying really hard with Amplitude.
Yeah. Oh, right.
I had my goal with Crash, and Sonic Mania, but. They're just too hard.
Sure.
They're just too much.
Thank you very much, Kevin. Madog Nick 96, again, from Massachusetts, writes in and says, hello, Greg and Tim. Knowing Tim, you've heard all about this rumor of a new Crash Bandicoot game in the works. Do you think this is a new core entry, a remaster of an existing entry like Crash Team Racing, or possibly a new spinoff? Thank you for the great content, Madog Nick 96, parentheses from Massachusetts.
Again, I think that there's a lot of misinformation in this. And
but what do you think the next thing is then?
So like looking at this and then talking about another game in 2019, I if it's in 2019, you got to imagine it's another Crash Bandicoot game, like a core platformer. It's the next Crash game.
Yeah.
Crash Team Racing is what I want the most is like, yeah, just you can't fuck up what already is. It's like we know what CTR is, and if it just gets remade from the ground up, that's what it will be. It'll just be prettier.
Yeah.
Give me online play. Give me all that stuff. I'm totally in. That would be music to my ears. A brand new Crash game, I'm in, but like honestly, like again, it could go either way, and I don't fully trust them. But at the same time, depending on what team they put on it, like they know that this game's going to sell, so that is either going to make them be like, fuck it, we can put out whatever we want, and it's going to sell, or it's going to make them go, hey, let's treat this right and you know, make something worthwhile. I'm being hopeful there, you know, and like I don't have much hope when it comes to a new Crash game, but I imagine it'd be a new platformer.
When you say you don't have much hope for a new Crash game, do you think, I mean, it's Vicarious Visions, right, who did the Insane Trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
You'd think, looking back, and they did three games right there and modernized them, they must have had ideas and thoughts.
Oh, for sure. And I feel like there's more of a chance now than ever that we will get a good Crash game.
Yeah.
Having said that, you got to look at the math here. Crash Insane Trilogy sold at $40, right? It was a reduced title. If there's no way in my mind that a Crash game comes out at $60 unless it's a like 3D platformer, like a bigger scale thing.
Yeah.
And no one wants that. Literally no one wants that, Greg.
Yeah, okay, sorry, my apologies.
The idea of just a single new Crash game that's, I mean, I don't want to say 2D because Crash is always... It is 3D, but like,
you know what I mean?
You know what I'm talking about. The difference between Mario 64 and Crash Bandicoot.
Right.
I just can't see that game selling for more than, I mean, even $40, I think is going to be kind of steep. So
do you think Crash Team Racing is the right move?
I mean, even that, they can't put just that out. I don't know. It gets interesting because you look at Sonic Mania, right? Sonic Mania, a new Sonic game in the old style, $20.
Yeah.
Like that to me is where Crash would thrive, $20 price point, but I don't see them doing that because they know they can sell millions of copies for $40. What type of game does that look like? In my head, it worries me because I think that means that they know that they need to put more and more and more into it to make people be like, oh, that's acceptable, but that more is the stuff we don't want.
Okay. We'll see what happens then. Stay tuned to GBI for all the breaking Crash news. Number two, PUBG is putting out some new anti-cheater features. They go live today. This is via IGN. Apparently, this is another stat they put out. In January, PUBG banned 1 million people who cheated. However, they're adding these new features, right? From the forum post, it goes, quote, the new anti-cheat feature will block different helper programs that alter the graphics or aid in gameplay in some way. What these programs have in common is that they all hook into your game and transform game files. Programs that are not used to gain an unfair advantage can also be blocked if they behave like cheats. IGN then goes on to say, Reshade is one of the programs that has been blocked, and while you won't be banned if you're having it on your system, you won't be able to play the game if you have it installed. You have to uninstall blocked programs in order to launch PUBG, and some players may find that they need to reinstall the game. Players should also note that other programs that don't affect gameplay might be temporarily blocked, like NVIDIA Shadowplay and other video/audio capture programs, as the devs, quote-unquote, hone the new anti-cheat features. So positive that they're trying to stop cheaters. A little bit of a wrinkle that you might have to go through a bunch of hoops. But yeah, hey, that's why you play PC games. You guys love problem solving and .exes and updates, .exes and all this stuff.
Graphics cards breaking and doing really weird things like making your shit really squeezed and black and white. Why, man? My graphics card at home treated me so well. And now just shit the bed. Now every single time I turn my computer on, I got to open my device manager, I got to disable graphics card, and then re-enable graphics card. And then it works for a little while until a pop-up comes. Then everything goes black and white again. And you know what's really unnerving? Seeing a computer in black and white. Something just feels
wrong. Have you ever thought about doing it in black and green? Like the old DOS terminals. Remember those things?
I mean, I don't get the choice.
I'm just saying something cool you could do. Hold on, Kevin's saying some stuff. Lean your microphone there, Big Kev Dog. What do you got? What do you got for him?
Have you tried switching the HDMI slots? Or
Have you turned it off and turned it back on again?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've done it all. Yeah. I've done it all. You'd be shocked.
Have you looked at the .exe files in the root menus? Have you gone in there?
You'd be surprised, Greg. No joke. I have.
Program files. Oh, yeah. X86. Yeah.
The whole NVIDIA refresh. Did the whole display driver. All that stuff. Game ready drivers. All that.
So if you're playing PUBG on PC, there you go. That's happening. Number three, Nintendo has confirmed what all rational people thought. In a Mario Odyssey dev talk, they have confirmed that Toad's head is his head and not a hat.
Yeah.
I don't know. When people were doing this thing, when this was making the rounds on the internet a few weeks ago, months ago, I was like, what? Of course that's his head.
You stupid fox.
Why would you take this thing off and he looks like a thumb?
Because in the Super Mario World cartoon, which was not canon.
In any way.
He took that shit off.
Yeah.
Kevin, I'm going to need you to Google this image. People need to see it.
It's disturbing, to say the least.
Yeah. Have you seen it?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I was there when this argument raged on, but I refused to get involved because I thought it's not even worth your time. And I say that, and I think we might have talked about it on the show. I don't even know. But it's the fact that it's pretty clearly Toad's head. He's a toadstool. It's simple. He's in the Mushroom Kingdom.
I mean, hey, they retconned that shit. Oh, fucking Princess Peach.
Oh,
Kevin. You got it?
Okay, don't talk about it. Don't acknowledge it.
Now, the thing, is it worth your time? Greg, let me tell you.
Sure.
Total segue, but I used to wake up at like 7 a.m. to watch this show every morning before school because I loved this shit.
Yeah.
And imagine me, a young Tim Gettys.
Yeah, sure.
Having something to drive him to wake up at 7 a.m.
Hard to believe, yeah.
Hard to believe. I like sleep. I like sleep a lot.
Even as a little kid, though?
Sleep? Oh, my God.
I feel like little kids are up at 5:30 in the morning for no reason.
Not me. But yeah, I loved that damn show. Oh, yeah, I don't like this.
Well, this isn't what you were saying.
That's not what we're talking about.
The first thing you showed was exactly what we wanted. Yeah. There you go. That's from, he took it off. Oh, and that's disturbing and stupid. And it's just like, you don't look at the Super Mario Brothers movie and say, that's canon and this is what I'm going to clearly pull from.
Mm-hmm.
You can look at that right now and be a logical person. This is what it would look like in modern times. And this is when it really shows off that, I guess, Toad wears pants, doesn't he? Is Toad pantsless all the time? Really?
Mm-mm.
Show me a real shot of Toad.
Toad is not pantsless. He has like a diaper thing.
Show me a real Toad. There you go. Yeah, okay. So they took off. They took off his hat and the other one and his pants.
You sick fox.
Hey, man.
God, whatever. Dude. Rule 34.
It's got to happen. It's got to be out there. Number four. Sam, this is another one for you. Okay, maybe there is a new Sonic Racing game coming. It had been...
Last year, the year of the platformer. This year, the year of the kart race.
Of course, last week we talked about Sumo Digital.
Mm-hmm.
Presentation maybe got leaked that showed that they were working on a whole bunch of stuff, including a new racing game. Everybody's like, oh my God, maybe it's a new Sonic. Then our boy Aaron over at Sega tweeted out, that's not happening. It's not whatever the abbreviation is. ASMR, but it's for Sonic, whatever they call it.
Sega's and All-Star then
racing. SonicStadium.org. Where I go for all my breaking Sonic news via Reset Era, says they're talking about Zappies, right? Who is this? I'll read it. Zappies, who were responsible for a number of All-Stars Racing Transform toys way back when the game was first released, were at the convention and have allegedly told Spanish.de.
These dumbass toy developers.
There is a third Sonic Racing game on the way. Whilst there is no outright proof of such a game, what strongly supports it is that their booth is full of original ASRT toys, which went out of production years ago. They claim these are theirs placeholders in a bid to give some retailers the idea of what the new game and toys would look like. This comes less than a week after a document from Sumo Digital leaked and suggested a new kart racer from a global IP was in development, and then Aaron Weber, of course, said, no, it's not. What I saw interesting, of course, we've been down this road before, but I saw it as I went to sip my coffee.
Yep.
Reset Era had it before I even needed to jump to the conclusion, is that it could easily, he's like, what? Whoever's talking, it's probably gonna be like, Sega Racers or something, like, right? It's not Sonic Racing All-Stars Transform, terrible fucking name. It's not that. It's going to be a new title. Then that, Aaron's tweet isn't wrong. factually correct.
Yeah.
But throws and he's you the off type the of scent.
Guy that would do that.
Of course.
Yeah.
Well, he wants to keep his secret secret.
Something I want to say about this, Greg.
Please, whatever you want to say, say
is it. I know people have their thoughts on Sonic, as they should. Mm-hmm. The quality ranges. It's a very big gap there. These Sonic racing games are beloved. People love these games and stand up for them, and they have a very, very, very strong audience that is not just a bunch of people that are crazy.
Yeah.
Like, these are the, it's a legitimate game that people stand up for saying is better than Mario Kart.
Yeah, right,
like
yeah, people
love
it.
People really, really love it. I never did. It never clicked with me. There's something about kart racers that I'm really particular about.
Yeah.
But there are people that love this damn game and want nothing more than them coming back. And they talk about it. It reminds me of the people that push for Legion. The X-Men show?
Sure.
Where they're no, seriously, it's fucking good. And you're like, there's no way, I don't trust you.
Yeah.
But then like, no, it's good. And then you hear other people, you're like, I guess it's good. I guess
Legion is good.
I guess it has to be good.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like that. So I'm hoping it comes back, you know, and I hope it makes it on the Switch. I hope it succeeds. Because more good Sonic games is, in my opinion, a good thing.
More good kart racers. That's what it's all
more
about.
More good kart racers. Set I love them kart racers.
You need to get out there and lay the groundwork to bring back Mod Nation Racers.
Yeah.
Cut the load times, that game would have been a completely different success story.
Yeah.
I digress. We wouldn't have been a success, but it would have been a different story.
Mod Nation Racers is another one that I just couldn't vibe with.
That's okay. You're a hateful man.
I'm a hateful man.
You're a hateful, it's hateful true. Man. You know, you're full of spite. You're a blind Nintendo. We're going to get into a long story here, but it's because it's an update to another story and then a long comment about both those stories, all right? We have an update here about that, I guess, Friday story of the Counter-Strike co-creator and all the sex stuff, right? This one comes from Ars Technica. Jess Cliff appeared in a King County courtroom on Friday, where his bail was set for $150,000 following his booking in a King County jail on Thursday over allegations of sexual exploitation of a minor. Cliff allegedly contacted at least one minor via a website and paid her for sex, quote unquote, multiple times. In one encounter, Cliff purportedly videotaped a sexual contact with the unnamed witness against her will. After that encounter, the unnamed witness stopped contact between the parties, the prosecutor alleged. Quote, even if the facts are true as claimed, this was a meeting on an adult website, Cliff's defense attorney, Zachary Wagelin, said when he was requesting that no bail be set for his client. Quote, he was not looking for underage women and had no idea this woman was underage. Zach, the lawyer, confirmed that his client and the witness indeed had sexual relations, adding that the witness had, quote, said Cliff was very nice. This request for zero bail also claimed Cliff was not a flight risk and pointed out that he was a longtime Seattle homeowner with his girlfriend who was in attendance at the hearing. Judge Benjamin set the $150,000 figure and described Cliff as a risk to the community based on these findings. A no-contact order was set between Cliff and the witness, and the order is set to expire February 23rd. Judge Benjamin also upheld the prosecutor's additional request that Cliff be ordered to not possess firearms for the same amount of time. Cliff's next King County court appearance has been set for Monday, February 5th. That's today. He has not posted paid bail as of press time. I believe I saw an update from another site saying he did post the bail over the weekend. Valve Software had announced following Cliff's Thursday arrest that he had been suspended until further notice. Valve representatives did not immediately respond to a request for comment about Friday's hearing. So, the update from the thing from Friday, because I want to bring in this question from the Noisy Elk then, who brings up an interesting point.
The Noisy Elk.
Hi, guys. I'm writing this real quick, too. Noisy Elk, a Kind of Funny Games Daily and Kind of Funny fan, wrote a novel. So I cut down to really his thing where he's like really giving to us, but he is like, I love the show. Don't get me wrong.
Cool.
The Noisy Elk. Hi, guys. I'm writing to express my disappointment in relation to something Greg and Tim said on Friday's Kind of Funny Games Daily when talking about the Counter-Strike dev being arrested in Seattle following allegations of child sex offenses. After Greg ran through the story itself, Tim said, motherfucker, and Greg said, don't be a creep. What I found most disappointing was Greg then sort of mumbling out the caveat, obviously it's just an allegation, blah, 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 as if he was just paying lip service to something that really didn't matter. I want to make it clear. This isn't me commenting on the Counter-Strike guy's case. I know nothing about it other than what you guys said last Friday. This is me attempting to highlight the importance of the general principle behind your reactions to it. I'm a barrister in the UK, parentheses, what you guys would call an attorney. And only a matter of weeks ago, I represented someone who was being sentenced for falsely accusing someone of setting fire to his house while he, his partner, and his children were inside. The guy was accused and arrested and kept in custody for 30 hours. And he was innocent. It's why the burden is on the state to prove a criminal charge. It's why the standard of proof, it used to be phrased beyond reasonable doubt, is so high. Mistakes happen. People fuck shit up. People make shit up. Same thing. I know it probably sticks out to me more because of the line of the work I'm in, but I think it's really important to remember this when it comes out in the press that someone has been accused of a crime. Andrea said something similar a few weeks ago when talking about the allegations against Quantic Dream. She said something along the lines of, well, an allegation has been made, so there must be something behind it. And I think I actually said in my car out loud, no, 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 no. And again, then Noisy Alec talking about how much he loves the show and like blah, blah, blah. But he put it all out there. You're not wrong.
Not at all.
You're not wrong at all.
Clarification for me real quick.
Yeah.
Me saying motherfucker, I wasn't calling him a motherfucker. I was saying motherfucker as like, goddamn, we're getting another one of these stories.
And I think my don't be a creep is mainly don't be a fucking creep.
And that's the thing is he makes a lot of very solid points. Yeah. And at the end of the day, there's a reason that we have the law system that we do.
Yeah.
And it's necessary. And people can't just be like, you're wrong, so they're wrong.
Sure.
That's not how this works. But in the same way that, you know, this is what you do. Our job is to give our opinion on the news, and the news is this guy's accused.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I feel like that's where all that falls into. And
I
just feel like we are not educated on that level to talk about that type of stuff in any real way.
Some would argue we're not educated on any level to talk about anything.
But my defense is it goes back to the don't be a creep. I feel like we can always, as the, you know, as people that have this platform,
yeah,
we can push don't be a creep, and we can push be good to people. And I can say definitively that what he's accused of is a horrible thing.
Yeah.
Did he do it? Did he not do it? Should we be blaming him? Should we be acting like we just assume that he did it because someone says he did? That's not for me to answer. And the Noisy Elk, you're making a lot of really good points.
No, I mean,
I wish you were here at the table to
say the reason that I mumbled out, though, you know, these are allegations, blah, 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 is because this is a show that's about video games, but we have been inundated with the industry and then Hollywood and that, you know what I mean, 2017 into 18, time's up, all that jazz, where it is like there's a new allegation every day. And now this is a different case, obviously going to court, doing a different stuff, but the other ones have been Kevin Spacey, you know, laid on top of me and like molested me kind of thing. And it's like, it was years ago and now you don't know, but Kevin Spacey says he doesn't remember it, but he's gay, and then he's off the show. And like we're at that point right now where it's like, oh Jesus, anytime one of these comes up, and then you mumble through the innocent until proven guilty thing because it is just something to tack on, man. Of like, hey, like I'm more upset this is happening at all to someone X, and again, not the Counter-Strike guy, X person that I enjoyed their work of. And it is, yeah, you have to wait to see and what's going to happen and how does anybody respond and where does it go from here? But you never know. And this one was on day of, right? All we had was the filing or whatever and then saying, yeah, it was some kind of sexual exploitation thing of a minor. And so it is like, Jesus, what do you do with that information? And I think it's important to keep putting the story in here and telling you what the update is, because it, with all due respect to everyone involved, right? If the shoe was on the other foot, if there was a Greg Miller story that Greg Miller is arrested for some kind of sexual crime or whatever, I would hope that it wouldn't be till I was found guilty that everyone was like, this guy sucks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But that's not how the world works.
Of course not.
Saddest thing of this, but it's not the saddest thing of this. The saddest thing
is of course.
Actual victims.
We're using hyperbole, right? We talk about our angle on this one story.
But it's things here of like, well, an allegation's been made, so there must be something behind it. A quote Andrea said, whatever.
Paraphrasing.
Yeah. And that, to me, it's like, okay, is that the right way of thinking? Not necessarily. However, like I stand up for her in that. There is something behind it. We need to know what that something
is. In a way, I feel, and I'm not talking about severity at all. Apples and oranges in terms of the cases there. Because what we were saying in that show was, you know, well, the people who complain that or make up a false sexual assault, sexual harassment thing, right? The stats, something, and I'm rusting out. I want to say it was 3% of these reports are fake, and that might just be sexual assault, but I digress. Most are real, right? And in terms of the Quantic Dream one, it was multiple people. So then it's that thought of, are we thinking that they went to a room and were like, let's really fuck this company up and we all say these things happen? Clearly people were uncomfortable. You know what I mean? If there's multiple allegations, I think it's safe to say that. I'm not saying it was fucking weird ass orgy sex party nobody saw coming, or a comment here that, like, you know, obviously somebody's trying to joke around about blah, 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 couldn't. Yeah. Like there's such a, it's, So fluid. All this is so fluid, and we're not there. We're all grasping at straws.
The conversation needs to happen. I think that is the most important part when it comes to all of this, because none of these are exactly the same.
Yeah.
And the severity between all of them is so radically different that there is no catch-all to answer the questions of how should we talk about this? How should we solve it? I think it's important to talk about it and to have this be a conversation with the Noisy Elk and kind of informing us on how we can better handle the conversation, right? And
yeah.
That's great. And it doesn't matter how many stats you bring up, any numbers that you really have, because even those numbers are only accurate to an extent of what they are. It's like, oh, it's shown that X percent is fake. It's like, well, who's to say that? Who knows, right? Mm-hmm. Like, someone decided those are fake based on whatever it was.
A statistical analysis of a control or a group, and then, you know, extrapolate those numbers out. And
so, yeah, I don't know. It's, to me, the bottom line is this sucks that all this stuff is happening. Again, not to say the same shit every fucking time, but I do believe this is going to lead to a better future where the stuff happens less.
Sure.
But thank you, Noisy Elk, for...
No, I'm glad, and it's a conversation we need to have. And again, if I'm mumbling through that at the end, clearly we're not doing the right job. But I think it's more of, here's another allegation thing, this guy's arrested, but you know, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Because at this point, I forget who it was this weekend, we were talking about somebody. I was like, blah, blah, blah. And Nick was like, no, he got... totally caught for that. And I was like, really? I totally missed that one.
I want to do this as a GOG topic at some point. I want to actually give us homework to read things and like go into it so it's not just us talking out of our ass. But it's a similar thing like Aziz Ansari, where that all that stuff happens, and you know, that's a totally different scale to fucking any of the other, like the big guys. Weinstein, thank you. Like the Weinstein situation, totally different.
Or Matt Lauer with his weird fucking button to shut the door and lock
people. What the fuck? But when I see Aziz Ansari pop up on Netflix and my gut tells me like, oh shit, he's still here? Like they're still promoting him like that? Like, whereas they're not with Kevin Spacey? Like, that's not that's a problem that we treat all these things the same. You know, we treat all these cases where it's just, you're cleansed or you're not cleansed.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and it's this inevitable countdown until people are cleansed. And it's like, it's a scary time for everybody. And I feel we just need to push through all this shit for a better future.
Good way to put it. Tim.
Yeah.
I'm excited about that future and the games that'll come to it. But right now I need to know what's in the digital mom and grop shops. Like, that came out today.
You can go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah. No yeah for me today, Kev? It's fine. I was just checking on you to make sure you're happy over there. Thank you, buddy.
Sorry, I was distracted.
Out today, Regions of Ruins on PC, and then Slimeson gets its second DLC on PC.
The Sheeple Sequel.
Sheeple Sequel.
Okay.
So go have some fun with that. Of course, Tuesday will be a big day tomorrow. New dates for you. Deadbolt's coming to PlayStation 4 and Vita on February 20th. And then also at PlayStation, they're putting out new gold headsets in the next few weeks.
$100?
Dude, the headsets are great.
$100?
They're wireless. They're great. They got everything. You can use
$100.
You can use the app to move it around like what you want to be. Like, you know what I mean?
That is bullshit.
It comes with, if you don't want to use them wirelessly with the dongle, you can plug them in your controller or any other device.
Oh my God. I need to Google these.
How much should headphones be?
I don't know. I want to look at these. If they're the ones I'm thinking of, $50.
They probably are the ones you use at like a PlayStation event. Where it's got like the black band on the top and then the little cups on the side. They also work, you know, with the dongle thing. With
insanity.
Okay. It's fair. I mean, you spend your money how you want to do. Kevin and I are playing so much Monster Hunter. You know what I'm saying, Kev? Kev knows what I'm saying.
Those A40s, man. I'm really enjoying.
Is that what you're using?
Yeah, A40s.
I use the Corsair one still. How do I sound? I sound fine?
Yeah, you sound fine.
Okay, good.
Yeah, but we have a set of A50s here.
That I know, wireless. But I mean, like, I think I have a set of A50s at home somewhere.
Slap them on, man.
Do you use the mix amp, or are you just plugging straight in?
I use the mix amp, but
really,
but it's like an old generation mix amp, so yeah. I don't think it's as good.
Yeah.
And I really like just being able to get up and walk over, and then I'm like, oh, hold on, Greg, I'm serving myself water. You know.
Sure. No, I just carry my controller with me when I do that. But that's the thing. That's these PlayStation ones.
Yeah.
I've used the previous Pulse and Gold headsets before. I've enjoyed them. Not enough to go out and buy them, but that's because I have a headset that works. You know what I mean? Anyways, time to talk to you about reader mail, but first tell you, it's brought to you by Pro Flowers and Sherry's Berries. You know who I love? Genevieve Saint-Ange Miller. You know what she loves? Flowers. You know what I love? Berries. So, our sponsor, Pro Flowers and Sherry's Berries, is the perfect Valentine's Day gift for everyone in your life, you included. You can all benefit from this. That's the best part.
Heaven, dude, you know what I mean?
Go ahead and think inside the box this Valentine's Day. This really is a one-of-a-kind gift. Your flowers and dipped strawberries will arrive together in a beautiful, specially designed box that will keep your flowers fresh and your berries cold, guaranteed. So cold. Right now, my listeners can save 20% on any one of their perfectly paired combinations or any other gift over $29 with the promo code KF. Andrea Renee, the busiest lady in the business, loves these berries and flowers so much she guilted me into getting more for the office, which
we did.
Need
them berries, dude.
Hurry and order today. Valentine's Day is next week. There's only one way to get 20% off a perfectly paired gift over $29, featuring beautiful blooms and Pro Flowers and freshly dipped strawberries from Sherry's Berries. Visit proflowers.com today and enter my code KF at checkout. That's proflowers.com, code KF. They don't have a tagline. Give them blackberries, but the strawberries.
Match your better half to your bottom half.
Nope, that's a different one. That's definitely. You don't want to use that.
I said it backwards.
Match your better half to your bottom. I guess. Yeah. Let's jump into reader mail. Let's see where I want to start. We had a whole bunch of good ones in here. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to just jump to the first one because it's all.
Give me some of that good stuff.
Give me that good one. Brad Mack writes in and says, "Hey guys, love the show. Just wondering if you experienced any Joy-Con rumble issues while playing Celeste on Switch. In handheld mode, the Joy-Cons vibrated so violently that it's actually pretty annoying, not to mention it's really loud when I'm playing on the train. Is this normal, or are my Joy-Cons fucked? Thanks heaps, Brad Mack."
It is normal.
Totally normal, and it's why
there is a lot of rumble in the jungle when it comes to Celeste and the Joy-Cons.
On the flight back, I was like, fuck this, and busted out the Pro Controller.
I will say, in some of the later levels, because my journey through Celeste... Oh, Greg, let me tell you.
Yeah.
It's still not over. I'm just going back to this thing, and I'm fucking loving it.
You've beaten it, obviously.
I beat the game, but now
I'm climbing the peak. You're doing the B-sides?
I'm crazy, man.
You are crazy.
I'm trying to get them berries.
You know what I mean?
God, I love it. But I played it in a lot of different forms, different controllers, on the TV, not on the TV, tabletop. Yeah. Quick aside, Greg, yesterday me and Gia went to brunch and look over, and there was a couple just straight up playing Mario Kart. Sitting at this bar,
fucking
on tabletop mode, and each of them with a Joy-Con. And I'm just like, wow, this is crazy, man. Crazy. What a world we live in.
Yeah.
And then I explained to G, I'm like, this is crazy. Like, this is real life. And she's like, I don't see what's so crazy about that. And then I showed her the original trailer for Nintendo Switch.
Yeah.
I'm like, this woman didn't exist, and now she does.
Yeah.
Back to Celeste. I feel like at some point later in the game, the rumble is actually really helpful because I think it happens when you're gripping onto stuff, you feel the rumble. It gets to a point where you kind of use it as a muscle memory,
tactile touch.
It's a tactile thing of like to get the rhythm down of like boom, jumping through and with the different skills you have.
I find it just so annoying. I was like, I'm not.
In the beginning,
doing this.
It is kind of annoying, but I feel like in some of the later game stuff, I found it helpful.
And that was the thing too, is Jen was napping and it was like loud enough that I was loud. Like, this is probably waking her up.
Yeah, it's a lot of rumble. A
lot of rumble. In
HD
the
rumble.
It is HD rumble. You can count the ice cubes, so you're not alone. Either suck it up or use your Pro Controller. Can you turn off the rumble? You must be able to do that in the options menu too. Michael S. writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD just like you can and says, "Hello, Greg and Tim.
Hello.
I just read the following article from gamesindustry.biz. This is the one that we mentioned in passing. Didn't make the Roper report last week, but it's basically about where smaller UK game retail stores are indicating that they see less reason to support Microsoft anymore due to the introduction of Games Pass. Quote from the article, "Essentially, it's made our Xbox business worthless overnight," Stuart Benson of Leicestershire store Extreme Games tells us. "You've got the whole section sat there, and why would people buy a $12 to $15 secondhand game when they can just pay a tenner and get a massive catalog of titles to keep them going? Effectively, overnight, they've wiped massive value off our company and made it not worth doing," end quote.
I love calling it a tenner.
I know, me too.
Good for them.
That's really good.
We should
call our $10 bills tenners.
Tenners.
In 20 years. In 50 centers. When you get the half dollar. I haven't seen a half dollar in circulation in a long time.
They're done, yeah.
But they're still out there, right? It's still legal tenure. Oh, they're eating them now. Okay. Michael S. continues. "I remember when the Xbox One was originally..." Nope. "My question to you is, do you believe this will broaden to the larger game retailer stores, or do you believe this is not truly an issue? I remember when Xbox One was originally announced, GameStop had an issue with the DRM functionality and was wondering if we might see the same thing with Game Pass. Thank you for your time. Michael S. Great question, Michael S.
Yeah.
I think it'll depend on the success of Game Pass. I'm sure GameStop isn't thrilled with seeing this. I think that their bottom line at the moment isn't being affected. But if it does hit, and if this new initiative of first party, you know, these next three big games being on there, first party games coming through, changes it and Xbox starts reporting it and then they start seeing a drop and stuff, then yeah, there would be, I don't know if it would, I don't think it would go as public as this. The article's fascinating. It's from January 30th or January 29th, again, over on gamesindustry.biz. And it's all these really small stores. It reminds me of like if you were talking to Slackers back in Columbia, Missouri, which is like the local independent, hey, trade off old games here. I totally see where it would affect them. You know, the stats they're talking about there. And yeah, of like, why would you buy this used game for $16 if it is online for $10? But it's also still the part of the problem is that so many people out there want physical games and don't have the right internet and don't have these abilities yet. It's going to be interesting to see what the balance is.
Yeah, it is. This is one of those things where I look at it and my gut tells me it's like, what are you doing? Like, why would you say you're not going to, like, this is going to affect your business, we might pull out or whatever? That, it seems so negative to me instead of, like, being proactive and trying to find solutions to the problem. And it reminds me a lot of, and I know I'm not on the popular side of this argument, but it reminds me a lot of how Nintendo handles its YouTube side of things. I think Nintendo is wrong.
The rev share program.
For the rev share stuff. Yeah. And I feel like, you know, they'd benefit from being more open like a lot of other developers and publishers are when it comes to letting people use their footage and not being so strict about it and taking money from it. However, it's like they don't owe it to us. They don't owe it to anybody. And for them they have a program and you either use it or you don't. This is how they want their things that they own to be played with. And I feel like this reminds me of that too, where it's like, you know, Xbox totally can do this. They don't give a fuck if you're selling games for $12 or $15 secondhand. They don't make money off the secondhand games. Yeah. So it's like, yeah, that sucks for you that your Xbox business is worthless overnight, but either figure it out or, yeah, don't support them and put your foot down and be like, we're not going to help you, you know, kill our business. But again, not Xbox's problem. It could be Xbox's problem if Amazon and GameSpot or Stop are like, fuck this, and they back out. It causes a big, you know, kind of snowball effect.
Yeah, if Amazon isn't restocking their Xbox Ones or their controllers or whatever, then yeah, it's an issue.
We've already seen it in the last couple of years where Amazon does get affected by these things, and Amazon does, like, if you look, like, certain games are not available for pre-order, not available for physical purchase. Like, you can only buy the digital. And, like, you can see a trend when you start looking at what developers offer what. And we've seen it with Nintendo and Amazon back in the day of them not supporting or selling the 3DS from their actual people. You had to buy them from third-party sellers. So, I don't know. There's definitely a future where this could shake things up. But I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. And I think that it's on them to get creative and figure out ways to make this valuable to everyone.
It's what we've talked about for years, right? Since IGN, of the digital future. Like, I still believe that, yes, similar to comic stores or music stores, there's always going to be a brick and mortar store to go get those things. They just become more and more boutique as the internet gets hopefully easier and opener to use as you go through and, you know, have all these different things. But I do think that, like, in Columbia, Missouri, is the internet so great? And then the surrounding areas of Missouri that they're, you know, like, I don't think that we're there in terms of the majority of people who own these consoles, if they're thinking in the way of like, oh, that's cool, this is like Netflix for games and that's a great deal and I should do that, because they're probably only playing a few games a year, we'll say.
Going further with this, and I know that this is the first step towards a potential crazy
future. It's one of those, let's look back at this in a year, nine months, let's launch Sea of Thieves at least on there and see what happens.
And doing the math on it, it's like, all right, Xbox is going to release how many first-party titles on Game Pass where this is actually going to affect sales? Like, let's say 4, maybe 5. If we're crazy, upwards of 7.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen. Look at the sales of what those games traditionally have sold. Add them all up, divide it across the world, and, you know, like, see how much this is actually going to affect store by store by store. I don't know.
It seems hard to believe, but it's going to be that gateway drug, right? If once you get people to start understanding it, that's when you really get to experiment with it and you really get to do different crazy things with it. We'll see. But
I mean, we saw it with the music industry. We saw it with the movie. Well, we're seeing it with the movie industry. We're still in the thick of all of that. But yeah, it's like with music, it was almost overnight that Apple decided we can monetize this and sell singles, and it changed how music was made.
Yeah.
This could change how games are made, and eventually CDs and all that stuff will be a thing of the past, and unless it's boutique stuff.
And sure.
Physical games will be the same way. We're very far from that. Games are a lot bigger, a lot harder to download. You can't just, you know, download the gigs and gigs and gigs every day the way you can just download a new song and it's nothing. But
yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting. Mark my words, after Xbox Games... After Xbox Game Pass goes live and does the Sea of Thieves... I'm sorry. So once Sea of Thieves comes to it, I believe that's the first one, yep, right, in the rotation, mm-hmm, you will definitely see Microsoft touting those numbers of Game Pass saw a month-over-month 200% increase in users. Or this,
they're,
that, the other.
They're totally going to go forward if it's a success, which I think it's going to be, and they are going to be very proud and put that subscriber number out there. They're going to be like, we have X amount of subscribers.
Yeah.
They might not give us all the details.
Yeah, it might not be hard numbers. I think it'll be percentages. Yeah.
I mean, look at Netflix. They don't give numbers. You can't. There's nowhere you can go that's not just some weird algorithms and shady websites trying to figure it out.
Shady websites.
There's no official place on Netflix you can find most popular. You know, like what is, there's no way you can just filter searches of how things are performing on Netflix. And it's for a good reason. That data is valuable and they know what they're doing.
Next question comes from Jeffy Jeff writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, angry Greg voice would be nice. Why aren't there more educational games? He actually says, why aren't there any educational games on PS4 or Xbox? The closest I've seen is Letter Quest, but that's about it. Is this a lost genre? Is it not lucrative enough of a space for companies to dive into? Sure, there is a shit ton of mobile games, but I want my kids to get used to a controller instead of dicking around on a phone. It seems like there has to be a ton of parents that would like to hear your thoughts on this. After all, if there is room for Life of Black Tiger on these platforms, there is room for Carmen Sandiego. Love you all, Jeffy Jeff Jeff. Yeah, I think historically they just don't perform. Anytime you see an educational game, it's usually not well done. Which, who's going to, maybe now that, yeah, there are indie studios that are able to turn things quicker and faster, you could see that. But again, also, I agree with you, Jeffy Jeff Jeff, that I'd love to see more kids using controllers, but kids are really using iPads.
Yeah.
And I see tons of educational stuff there being used. And it's, I think, you know, this, the success we've seen with video games in this generation, right? PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, is us rubber banding back to, all right, cool, it's about games. Sorry, it's not about everything. It's not about trying to do everything. It's not about Kinect. It's not even about VR all that much. It's about, here are the actual games you want to play on this system and take over your giant TV.
Yeah.
And there isn't, that doesn't really equate to Number Munchers coming back out.
Number Munchers.
Yeah, which is a great game. But yeah. And I assume on PC there's more stuff like that, let alone the user interface is better for that. Carmen Sandiego, I remember playing on PC and loving it because it was easy and I'm typing things in.
Yeah, I think that's the, like, these games have a home on mobile, specifically tablets and PC, because I think it is the interface thing, and that is, it's easier to teach kids things in ways that they're actually going to use outside of video games.
Yeah.
I think it is harder to design that around traditional games, but then it's like, what actually qualifies as an educational game? You know, like, does it have to be Mario typing, or could it just be, you know, Mario something else? Mario's missing, I guess, or whatever.
It's got to be Mario typing.
Yeah.
That's,
yeah,
the thing. It's like, what, I mean, yeah.
I mean, Mario's missing was a different thing where that was an educational game, but it was like, that wasn't fun. No one wanted to play it.
That's the biggest thing, right? Is that video game console games, like, I feel like on PC, on mobile, you can get away with an application. It's a learning application. Mm-hmm. Leaping Tiger does all this different stuff, right? Of like, no, that's not Leapfrog.
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 Yeah.
Does all this different stuff of like, here's an application that we're doing. It's not so much a game. It's, you know, video games are games, and you want to jump in there usually and be entertained. And for the most part, learning is not entertaining, which is, mm-hmm, why we're all dumb and can't speak other languages.
It's true.
I don't want to conjugate no verbs. Yeah. Kevin, you were forced to do that. Don't act like, you know what I mean? Don't act like him. So yeah, I don't think you have any hope of those games coming here anytime soon to consoles. Mm-mm. At least in a wave. Billy the Door writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hey, I'm really digging Monster Hunter, but my launch PS4... Yeah, we're big Monster Hunter fans. But my launch PS4 isn't cutting it. It's framey, lots of slowdown, and the monsters look rough. I went to my brother's place and watched him play on his pro, and the game looked fantastic and played a lot better. Is it fair to advertise slash review slash evaluate a game as a PlayStation 4 game when it really is so much better when played on a pro? I remember the 3DS version of Hyrule Warriors got two separate scores for the new 3DS and the regular 3DS from IGN. Do you think an approach like this is necessary for properly evaluating these games? Thanks, Billy the Door.
Yes, I do.
Really?
And I feel like, definitely. A lot of the sites that I've seen have started putting like what it's reviewed on.
Sure, that I'm totally down for. I like the disclosure of I played it on a pro. I played it on this. Yeah. I like that a lot.
I think that not every game needs it, and I feel like it depends on how significant the difference is. I do think if you're reviewing a game nowadays, you need to play both versions to at least know the difference. It's like back when the big problem here was
Xbox
versus PlayStation, PlayStation, whatever. It's like, yeah, at least have an understanding of where the difference lies. Where it gets complicated is, where do you stop? Do you also need to compare it to PC? Do you also need to do whatever? I mean, in my opinion, the answer is yes. If your website, IGN, is going to put up a graphics comparison video that is PC versus Xbox One S versus Xbox One X versus PS4 versus PS4 Pro, yeah, there should be some type of understanding, at least a note of the differences.
So is that your solution, or do you want Monster Hunter PS4 review, Monster Hunter PS4 Pro review?
I think it depends on how significant the differences are. If it's as big as Hyrule Warriors, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
How big was remember. Okay,
big difference from unplayable to playable, essentially. Wow. And that needs to be denoted, right? Sure. And like, that's the same thing as, you know, when IGN put out the review for Prey, right? And it was like, unplayable on PC. Yeah, that's a problem.
Sure.
That's going to get a much lower
review. But the problem is, like, that's so easy. That's so easy, right? Okay, it doesn't work on PC.
Yeah.
Nailed it, right? When I was at IGN and we reviewed Skyrim, right? It was exactly what you're talking about. And I did it how many fucking thousands of times, where I play through this 20-hour game for review on PS3, then I pop in the 360 and I play maybe half an hour to 40 minutes of it to be like, all right, yeah, but I mean, that's also...
So you don't actually find the problems with it.
It's that early, it's that low. Monster Hunter, to give my feedback on it, which is tough, because again, I'm not this guy. We've said this a million times. I play Monster Hunter 4 on my Pro. Or I'm sorry, I play Monster Hunter on my PlayStation 4 Pro, right? When Kevin and I were trying to get Jen to play, I put her on the Pro because it's the Master account, so she could use the game. And I played on my standard PS4, and I really didn't see a difference.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, don't get me wrong, like, I'm not, it doesn't look as smooth because I was using the frame rate smoother on PS4 Pro, but I didn't look at it and be like, whoa, fuck, you know what I mean? Like, goo. And I, now, not that I'm calling Billy the Door a liar. Maybe Billy the Door is 20 hours in and fighting a way bigger, different monster with way more going on than I was when Kevin and I were screwing around. No? Kevin's shaking his head. No, he says no.
Well, I'm 20 hours in, and I've seen, like, a pretty crazy-looking monster that has, like, a bunch of horns everywhere, and there's a lot of detail. It doesn't look that bad. It has an effect in my gameplay.
Are you seeing it slow down a lot and get changed?
No.
Yeah. That's the other thing, is that could be a PlayStation 4 problem. His PlayStation 4 could be having a problem. And this is where it gets interesting. Not that I love the disclosure. I reviewed it on this. This is what it is. But just like every multiplayer game we used to review at IGN, the idea was that once it went out to the public, they're the experts. They know, they're going to know this game way better than any of us reviewers.
Yeah.
So if it was like you put it on, let me try it on a PlayStation 4 and it just like stutter it, then yes, there needs to be a separate review.
That's
but a I feel like
situation.
Okay, and I feel like that is so rare. You're not going to see that I think you have to do disclosure and then you have to let the subreddits and the world and people call out the PS3.
So that's the next step. Is that I think that we're in a different era where this isn't on IGN to solve the problem. There's no way that they could hire enough people to play every version and to compare.
Great job, their Alana. You put in 90 hours into Monster Hunter World for the review on X. Now go play it 90 hours.
No, that doesn't work. But we're in a different era now with games as a service, with all that being what it is.
Yeah.
Where in addition to that, like, the media is crowdsourced in a lot of ways.
Oh yeah, totally.
And it relies on that. Like, you look at, we're using IGN as the example because we're familiar with IGN. Home, yeah. Like, we know how that works.
Yeah.
But like, you look at what they do with wikis, where it totally is like, it needs to be on these people that care the most. But I think that's when, as easy as it is for them to be like, oh, the PC version doesn't work. This, you know, until it works, it's got a bad score.
Yeah.
I feel there needs to be a feedback loop of if there's enough people saying, hey, this game is significantly worse or better on the other system, then I feel like it is on IGN to pay attention to that and be like, we should act accordingly. Again, shouldn't use IGN as an example there. It's
big,
on
big the, game site, whatever.
If you're going to say this is reviewed on a pro, I think that it would behoove them and it would benefit the audience for them to have a separate review, Monster Hunter World on PlayStation 4. You know, they'll get more clicks. Everyone wins with that type of scenario where people will see what the difference is and why that's there. And it's actually providing a service to people, which is the whole
point
of the review.
I feel like it opens you up to even more problems, though. If it is that I played 90 hours of Monster Hunter PlayStation 4 Pro, now I've played 40 minutes on PS4 normal, and I'm going to jump in there and put up both these reviews and call one of them, you know, just put it in parentheses there. I think you're more likely that somebody's going to buy a PS4. Oh, like Greg said, it were and fine for the, you know, his time and put the rest of the review. Yeah. But then they get 20 hours, 90 hours in. There is a giant clusterfuck. I think
the other side of it is then, like, should the review sites just be like, hey, PS4 pros, what we're reviewing? Going forward, that is the standard that we're going with.
I think it's company by company.
Or should they not review PS4 Pro and it's just review PlayStation because everybody has access to at least that? I don't know.
This was the problem when they announced PlayStation 4 Pro and Xbox One S and Xbox One X, and then suddenly you are into the weeds here of like, what is the right way to do it and how do you make this happen? And I feel like it's a fucked up situation. I bet it's different at every site, and I think that's what it comes down to.
Every game and every scenario with it. In my experience, from the games that I've played and I've seen running on the Xbox One S versus X or the PS4 Pro versus regular, it hasn't been that big of a difference ever.
Yeah.
And when there is the big like graphical additions and all that stuff, like they're always nice, and I'd always obviously prefer to play on the better systems.
Of course.
But I do feel like the core game has been there, and it's not like it's the... I wouldn't consider it the worst version of the game. I just consider the other one the better one, right? Like, sure. I look at it as like standard and then better instead of standard with the original one being worse. But I don't know. We'll have to see. And there needs to be more cases where there is a significant difference before I think this is actually going to be an issue that people take seriously and try to fix. I guarantee IGN, Polygon, all of them are thinking about this and like trying to figure out what they think is the best way to handle it.
Well, the problem is that it's only going to get worse.
Yeah.
It's not going to get better, right? It's going to, you're going to see more and more and more deviation. And so, yeah, you got to start nipping in the bud. But if it is, you pop in and look at it.
I don't know that we will. Like, my thing is, I feel like the moment that there's more and more and more, that's when these new, the new better ones are going to be standard. Right?
Like, well, yeah, you hope.
Yeah, it's like, I don't see the games having such a big gap that there'd be a big review difference. And if there is, they're going to be rare one-off cases, and the community will speak and will rise up people's
what's
attention.
Interesting here, and like I don't know, kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. I think I know how this works, but I'm not sure. You figure at IGN, PUBG got a 10, right? Or 9.5 or whatever on Xbox. Oh, no, that's they reviewed on a PC. My apologies. I'll dial that back.
Got it.
But this is exactly what's happening with PUBG, right? Where PUBG on Xbox One is very different than PUBG on Xbox One S, and I would imagine it's very different than the Xbox original.
Yeah.
But like Kevin, when we're playing and Kevin can't see the house, I can see.
Yeah.
Like that's a notable difference. And how do you review that? How do you how do you bring that experience to the people other than talk about it?
I mean, that's a whole other thing because it's early access.
Sure. And that's why on Xbox. That's why I walked it back. Yeah, I'm sorry. It's not a review.
Yeah. In my opinion, this is the world we live in, and it's changing. Things are not what they used to be. You can't just look at reviews and be like, this is how we do it. It's like, no, every case is different. And how do you review Rainbow Six Siege? Do you go back and update it? Because the answer is, you should, right? Like, that's how people are playing that game. It's a new game now compared to what it used to be.
Interesting time to be alive, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to squad up. This is where one of you writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD. You give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in video games. I'd love if some of them weren't Monster Hunter, but I understand they're all Monster Hunter. Today, Matt Talent needs help. He's over on Xbox. His username is Darth Talent, but it's T-A-L-L-A-N-T. Darth Talent writes in and says, hello, Greg and Tim, hello, or Andrea or Gary. I am officially hooked on Monster Hunter World. I would love for some kind of funny friends to come and go on some glorious hunts with me. Unfortunately, every time I make an online session, nobody comes up. It is depressing to see my hub empty. I drink alone. If you are interested in forming a squad and hanging out, send me an invite. All one word, Darth Talent, T-A-L-L-A-N-T. Remember, Kevin puts them in the YouTube description and the podcast description for easy access. Tim?
Yes.
I got a new segment for you. It's called One of Us. Trophy Virgin wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, after hearing Greg go on and on about trophy hunting, I decided to chase my first platinum.
Trophy Virgin, trophy humping.
I chose Horizon because I'd just beaten it and loved it. Big mistake. The trophy hunting made me hate Horizon. I skipped dialogue just so I could go kill whatever it was I had to kill for whatever side quest. I went around collecting metal flowers, vantages, banooks, and God knows what else in a methodical, joyless manner. After the Blazing Suns Hunting Grounds trophy was the worst. After killing two Ravagers with the Thunderjaw's disc gun, the platinum finally popped. I felt no joy. Is this what trophy hunting is about? Stealing the joy from a game you love? Yet here I am looking through my trophy list, looking for platinum number two.
Uh-oh.
God damn you, Greg Miller.
One of us.
One of us. That's what it's about it. It's the about, it is about
name
of that.
The segment, Kevin, as you, I'm not even a comment on what's happening over there.
Yeah, not a huge fan. Yeah, no, that is what it's all about. Going through. It shouldn't be joyless. You should want to play more of that game. One, another question that got made to the paper, but not to hear, was like, have you ever felt he 100% it's Mario? And he's like thinking about making a new save to play more Mario. And has that ever hit you? And I'm like, yeah, it has.
Oh, yeah.
Infamous.
Oh,
yeah. Like, come on. So good. That's a good sign of a game, and you should be. Maybe platinums aren't for you, trophy version. It's okay.
It's okay, man.
You can be one of them kids. Tim?
Yes.
People can watch us each and every weekday on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames as we record the show. But their job, of course, is to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screwed up as we screw it up. What do we screw up?
Only three people responded today.
Nice.
And it was all editorializing as far as I'm concerned.
Bam! Fuck, Tim laying them out. Tim not going to have it. Yeah. Not like Gary Whitta. Gary Whitta's
talking about the price of the PS4 headset. Some people say it's worth 100. Some people
don't. Okay. That's fine. That's fair.
Cool.
That's
fair.
Fair. Sure.
And then Kebabs was saying that he enjoyed, there is good educational games. But then he was like, yeah, but they're on PC.
It's like, that's what we said. Well, we said that. That doesn't count.
Yeah, we agree with you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Remember, each and every weekday, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, and podcast services around the globe. If you like what we do, please subscribe to everything, even if you only use one platform. Maybe go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Kick us a couple of bucks to say, hey, good job. Tim and Andrea.
Maybe a tenner.
Tim and Andrea will be hosting the show tomorrow for you as I go to Dallas to do some work. But until next time. What? Yeah, until next time.
Greg does Dallas.
Nope, not going to call it that. We're not going to call it
that's
that.
What I'm calling it.
Okay, well, until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.